Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
It's Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon here on 97.1 FM Talk. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day today and every day. We are joined by Brent Sadler. He is a Heritage Senior Research Fellow on National Security at the Heritage Foundation and joins us now. Brent, good afternoon. Hello.
Yeah. Hey, can you hear me?
Hey, Brent. Yeah, sorry. I think that was on my end. Brent, we've got a lot going on, and I want to start with the Trump-Zelensky meeting. President Trump met with Zelensky. They had a press conference. He then spoke with Putin of Russia. Where are we in this conflict, and what to expect in the next few weeks?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting kind of dance that's been going on for the last few months. I remain skeptical that we're going to have a breakthrough in a ceasefire to the war in Ukraine. Clearly, both sides, the Ukrainians and the Russians, still have a lot of fight left into them. But there's a few things on the battlefield that make me very suspect that the stability of that front line is very brittle. But it could go either way. In the meantime, there hasn't really been a change on the pressure on Putin to really kind of compel him to kind of come to the table. Zelensky seems willing. It's Putin's the party that's not really willing to really, in true good faith, enter into ending this war at this point.
As this continues, I mean, does this put people outside of Ukraine at risk? I mean, could Russia be expanding? Where does this conflict move to if this continues for another year or so?
Yeah, this argument's never really made sense to me, because after the first weekend of the war back in February 2022, it was clear that Putin was misled, or at least his intelligence agencies horribly misjudged the resolve and the capacity of the Ukrainians to resist. So the last thing the Russians would be able to do or want to do is to expand the war that they had already horribly misjudged and were at the risk of losing. So I still think that's the case. They want to keep the main thing, despite the bluster and the threats elsewhere. So call their bluff in many ways when Putin tries to threaten escalation elsewhere. So at least right now, I don't see that as likely. In the long term, say Russia resets, and it really matters how they end this war in Ukraine. If they reset and they decide they want to take a bite of someone else's territory, I think countries like Georgia should be on alert. I think the next, which is a far second, is NATO member countries like the Baltic states. Because when you take on a NATO country, you take on all of NATO. And I don't think Russia's ready to do that.
And when it comes to Ukraine, I mean, there's no way if this conflict goes on, if the conflict ends, I mean, there's just certain pieces of land that Russia will never give up, right? That it's a non-starter, yeah, if you're talking about certain conquered, in their words, conquered land.
Yeah. Well, the history kind of matters in this. And so Crimea was before Ukraine, after the Soviet Union was dissolving, Crimea was kind of its own independent republic for a period of time. And the majority of the people there voted to join Russia, not Ukraine. But in that 1994 deal, Ukraine was kind of formed and reasserted as what we know the borders officially ever since, to include Crimea. But the people in Crimea had voted differently to go to Russia. I think Crimea is beyond Ukraine's ability to take militarily, even if they wanted to. The Donbas, which are the two states, Luhansk and Donetsk, there's been an interesting history there as well, where those two areas were part of Russia Federal Republic rather than Ukraine. If you go back to Khrushchev's time. So those three states, Crimea, Donetsk, Luhansk, I could see those being very hard for Russia to, for Putin to give up. But the other places like Zaporizhia, Kherson, these, I think, you know, Putin says he's annexed them. I think this is a place where the Ukrainians have a much stronger case, both militarily and also historically, to push back on. It's not to say that tomorrow they have a ceasefire. They don't have to acknowledge any of this border. They just stop the fighting where it is.
Now, Brent, moving over to China, as they have announced major military drills around Taiwan. Okay. What can you tell us about that and the significance of that?
Yeah, so very significant. It doesn't appear to be a response to arms sales to Taiwan, which very large package was basically penned about 2 weeks ago. Normally, when the Chinese are going to make a political statement with their military forces, it's about 3 to 5 days after the offending incident, and the Chinese go out of their way to make a lot of public statements as to why they're doing it. That's not the case on this. Of course, it's also been cover for them to continue to perfect their war planning and to train their military for a blockade and subsequent invasion of Taiwan. This looks exactly like that. Again, no surprise. They've been doing this at scale since August of 2022. It's unusual that it's happening in the winter months, because typically the end of the year, you've got, you know, recruitment cycles, bringing in new sailors and soldiers that you have to train up. Normally you start at a basic level, and then the weather is not exactly, haven't been a sailor in those waters myself, not exactly the ideal time to be doing major military drills either.
Now, I mean, at the end of the day, China wants Taiwan, right? Is that, I mean, that's the goal here?
Yeah.
Eventually at some point?
Yeah, I mean, the reality is on this, and I think Beijing is realizing it, that there's not going to be a peaceful, absorption of Taiwan into mainland China. The people in Taiwan have seen what the Chinese Communist Party is about, and they don't want anything to do with it. And over the last 10 years, 15 years, the people in Taiwan who had typically identified as Chinese are now increasingly identifying as Taiwanese, which means this peaceful reunification kind of idea over time is evaporating, and Xi Jinping knows it, and he's getting anxious. And that means more likely for a military solution.
Where does the United States play a role in this? As we know, the last administration wouldn't say that Taiwan was its own independent land. Where does the current administration stand, and where, if America would get involved?
Yeah, so our official position, U.S. government's official position, going all the way back to the 70s with Nixon's great rapprochement to Beijing, has been that the United States takes a position that the dispute between the Chinese nationalists in Taiwan and the Chinese Communist Party in Beijing is a dispute to be resolved peacefully, and the United States would work to ensure that it's resolved peacefully. And so we don't recognize Taiwan's independence, but at the same time, we want this civil war that's been ongoing. That's what's actually the state of affairs to be resolved peacefully. And we'll arm Taiwan to ensure the military balance to that effect. So we don't have to take a side on Taiwan's independence or not. But if the Chinese Communist Party decides to attack, they will have invalidated all of the understandings that go back to 1972-73 timeframe with the Chinese Communist Party. And at that point, I'd say independence might be on the table for the U.S. to back.
Very interesting. I feel like this is a dispute that doesn't get the attention of a lot of other overseas disputes.
In Asia, it is the most important, and it's very well discussed and covered. But yeah, here in the United States, it's like the dog that's not barking. And until it actually starts, it's easy to not be aware of it. But a major war, like on the scale of World War II scale, we're very close to that in Asia, and it's to our detriment that we're not paying more attention to what's happening around Taiwan. So hopefully these massive exercises that the Chinese are doing right now around Taiwan will get it will be another learning education and reminder how dangerous and how tense things are in Asia right now. And it is it does affect Americans directly, economically, and also there's 50 to 80,000 American citizens in Taiwan living or visiting at any time. So if the Chinese Communist Party decides to take a shot at the Taiwanese, they're going to kill a lot of Americans. And I think we're in the fight politically, whether we want it to be that case or not.
Hey, Brent, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
That is Brent Sadler, Heritage Senior Research Fellow on National Security. When we come back, we're talking with KSDK Sports Director Frank Cusimano. It's Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.